Given the damage they've caused.
Chicago. Today, I'm sitting in a park. Don't tell the police, but it is closed for coronavirus, and I snuck in because honestly, I'm a fifth houser and I needed to play today by myself because I'm having a rough week. How are you guys doing? I feel like the stars are doing a number on us. Venus went direct, but we still have several planets in retrograde. Jupiter is meeting up with Pluto again. Deep breath. It's gonna get real, guys. I'm just trying to enjoy it while it lasts. It's been kind of heavy. I feel like I got a test this week from the universe, and as upsetting as it was, I feel like it taught me something, and I felt like the power of how much I've really done the work and how much I've changed, and just a higher level of being, you know? I had recently started seeing someone that I really liked. It happened really abruptly, and they had been trying to talk to me for about 6 months, maybe a little bit more, and I kept blowing them off because I felt like, I don't know, I felt like this gut instinct, like this person frightened me. And I've also, like, you know, I've talked openly about this, where it's like, I feel like I wasn't necessarily in a place to engage back in that way because I was being very career focused and focused on getting this up and running and doing this huge project. And so when this fell into my lap very suddenly and abruptly, and I decided to finally like engage with this person, it happened like very, very, very fast. And you know, it's very strange because like it was like I saw every red flag, but I didn't listen to it. And I even spoke with some friends about it just to get some perspective, because sometimes I can be very blind to things. Venus in Pisces, I'm guilty. And so, but we had this amazing synastry, amazing. Like all the personal planets were touching, things on my vertex, like Pluto on my vertex, my Pluto was on their vertex. Like it was insane. And so our north nodes were touching and Junos were touching and like all of the like, you know, twin flame indicator. So I was like, maybe this is me having worked so hard on myself. I'm like actually getting someone in my life that's at my level, right? This person was very spiritual. They could think on my level, which is really hard. I feel like I can drain people sometimes with my woo-woo nonsense. That's why I love my BB Hive. Because it's the one place I can talk about these things with people who want to understand or do understand or in the process of understanding. And I don't know, it was just like almost too good to be true. And it made me think of like they expressed all their values to me very early on. And that's something really important to me. My Pluto is in my second house at 29 degrees. So values are extremely important to me in partnerships. I will not date somebody that has poor values. That is just something super important to me. And so like it seemed like all my ducks were in a row with this person. And it was just really nice. And we had good flow, I thought. And it just seemed like, I don't know, they had chased me for long enough. I had made them jump through hoops a little bit, I guess, to even talk to me. And so I let my walls down again. And it just turned out to be fucking garbage. Like shit. Like fucking garbage shit. And I could have gotten upset about it. Instead, I talked to friends, and my friends really lifted me up, and I realized, like, I was love-bombed. That's exactly what I was. And it's like I post all these memes, these educational tools, and I want to become a therapist. But, like, I'm guilty of falling into the same traps as all of you guys. But the thing that was different in this experience is, you know, Most of you guys know, like, I recently lost my sister to suicide, and I hadn't really left my house since lockdown, and it had been kind of a stressful couple of months, but, like, I was determined. I've done so much healing work that despite all of these circumstances going on in my life, that I was going to overcome it, and I was going to overcome it with grace. And previous to this, I don't know if I could have handled it. This has been a lot. We're in lockdown. I can't see my family. I couldn't go home to deal with this tragedy. I didn't know where my next meal was going to come from because accessing food was really hard for the first few weeks of coronavirus. Just everything. I don't really love where I live, and I'm trying to move. I'm in between career options. It just seemed like my world was wide open, but I reframed a lot of my thinking this week, and I took a lot of like my self-limiting thoughts and reframed them, and I was able to take this situation with a piece, like some grace, I guess I would say. Like I really wanted to understand the thought process of it and how it happened, so therefore it could not happen again, right? Like it, but it became less about me like just going with the emotional nature of it and just more trying to be very analytical about it, playing psychologist to myself, and allowing myself to feel my feelings and sit with my feelings, but also to ask myself, you know, those core questions. When was the first time that you felt this way? When was the last time that you felt this way? What is this triggering, right? And so I did that, and I was really proud of myself. And a friend of mine who is very close with me acknowledged that like 3 years ago I would not be the same way. And now I'm really okay. Like, I just think it was like a dumb thing that this person did. I played a part in it. I should be more aware. I played my role. They played their role. And it is what it is. It was this fast-winded thing where I fell for literally everything I tell my clients not to do. And so it was just like this wake-up call that like we are all the same. You know what I mean? Like, we are all... it's all possible for us to endure these same things. And honestly, what I really feel that it was a mirror situation. I think that like I mirrored this person mirrored to me. And this is something that actually happens to me quite often. Relationships are mirrors, guys. So that's why it's so freaking important that like we get our vision right. Okay, because if you're going to mirror each other and each other's flaws, we need to be in a place to receive those flaws and those realities that really hurt us, right? And so this person, I do not think, was in any sort of place to receive the truth and deal with those realities. Whereas I've been living in my truth for a really long time, and they said some really fucking hurtful things to me that I could have let get to me, but I'm just like, I'm brushing it off. Like, I don't care. Like, I feel so confident in who I am and the life that I'm leading, and that it is of value, that like, God, it feels so good to heal. And so I just wanted to be vulnerable today and share that with you guys, because I know a number of you talk to me about your dating lives and the things you're going through, and I'm going through it too, man. Like, I am. I'm with you. And people can suck sometimes, and I can suck sometimes. I can totally suck, and I have sucked, but right now I don't suck. Right now I'm flawless. I'm Beyonce. I'm perfect. So I don't know. It is what it is. I'm going to find the person that is right for me in the right timing. And this person was possibly it, maybe one day in the future when they get their shit together, but probably not, because I will move on. So it is what it is. Fucking Venus fucking retrograde. I rarely have Venus retrograde things, but Venus served me. I think that's because Venus in Gemini squares my Venus in Pisces, and God knows how we can indulge in fantasy. I think I'm outgrowing my Venus in Pisces. It has progressed to Venus in Taurus, so I need something sturdy. I need a table. I mean, my next partner needs to be a sturdy table. Foundational. Sensual, all the things of Taurus, possibly a great chef, possibly a great baker. I don't know. All the things of Taurus, that is what it'll be. I'm really happy. I feel like part of the reason I snapped this week too is because I had my progress sun at 29 degrees Pisces for the longest time, forever. And 29 is such a critical degree in astrology for anyone who is a noob. And Pisces, the most dreamiest of signs, the most sad of signs, the most desolate of signs. It rules the 12th house, the house of our undoing. It's been a tough couple of years. And so it's finally moved into the sign of Aries, where I'm ready for war. I'm ready to be impulsive and big baby brat B. Big baby brat B. That's where I'm at. And I just feel like I'm feeling... Okay, so also Mars is moving into Aries soon from Pisces. My natal Mars is in Pisces, and I have Neptune sitting on it. So it's slowing me down. I'm not as fast as I used to be, but it's coming back. I'm getting my energy up, and it's fantastic. And I feel good, and I look good, and I feel great. And so, you know, it's going to be okay. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for the world. That's my astrology rant for today. Today on the podcast, we have Stephanie Ryan, who is this amazing, intuitive watercolor artist from Pennsylvania. She lives right outside from where I grew up, like outside of Kennett Square. And so we're going to talk a little bit about intuitive painting today. And then I have some words at the end of the podcast on parenting. So stick with me. Thanks for tuning in this week, and I love you guys. Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing really well. Thanks. How are you?
I'm good. How's the weather in Pennsylvania right now?
It's really hot.
I bet. Yeah. Do you get to go down to the shore or anything?
I don't really know. I love the winter time, so I pretty much stay in all summer long in the air conditioning.
That sounds nice, too. So I wanted to talk to you today about your process. You are an intuitive painter. That's so interesting to me. You talk a lot about ritual. And so I'm going to let you talk for a little bit, but I wanted to ask you, how did you start getting into watercolor, and where did it take more of a spiritual approach?
So I started, I guess around 10 years ago, painting with watercolor. And I did it as part of my business, I guess. Like, I wanted to create a business where I could do art licensing. I had worked for some other people, and I knew about art licensing, but I wanted to do it myself. I wanted to be able to work from home. I didn't want to work for other people. You know, I had I suffer from chronic illness, and so it was just really hard to live my life on other people's terms. Like, I really needed to start taking care of myself better. And so I just started painting, and I started painting watercolor florals. Before that, I was doing more graphic work, and they were all florals. So florals just seemed to be my thing.
And what draws you to flowers?
I don't know. The really funny part is I don't really know flowers. Like, I see them outside, but I don't know all their names, and I don't know a lot about them. And I don't have a lot of plants in the house because I kind of kill them all. And so I don't know where the flower thing came from, but it was there. And I just started doing it. And I, at the time, this was, I guess around 2010, like, Etsy was big at the time. And if you wanted to get your work seen, you started an Etsy store. And so I started making prints and putting them on Etsy, and creative directors started to reach out to me.
Wow.
Yeah. So it started working right away, and which is amazing. And at the time, it was really bright, almost graphic looking watercolor florals. And I would mix in a lot of inspirational messaging. No, because I knew the business and I knew what licensing people wanted. Like, I knew what manufacturers wanted for their products. And so it was really happy art, and it was working, and it was great. And I just kind of continued on that path for a long time. I was able to quit my job. I was doing some freelancing on the side and building up my licensing business, and it was all working. But there was something missing. I would receive my products in the mail, and I'd be like, oh, that's really nice. That's great. But, you know, I didn't feel connected to it, and it didn't feel like me. And I finally realized that it was more the art that I thought I should be creating, and not the art that, how I felt on the inside. And so that was like a big kind of aha moment. And I needed to figure out how I could shift my art without losing my business.
Yeah.
So it was scary. It was really scary. And You know, I have licensing agents, and I told them about it, and they were like, "Oh, you know, you're what?" So little by little, I just started to kind of go inward. You know, I'm kind of an introvert, and I just went inward, and I just really started thinking about how I felt. And I, you know, there was a lot of journaling, and there were, you know, tons of Pinterest boards that I was making at the time, and just started to figure it out. And I think the process became spiritual to me. Like I was already a spiritual person, and
but it just kind of grounded you more.
Yeah,
into it.
Yeah. And I always, you know, I've always been into more like the new age lifestyle and supernatural things and self-help and all that. And a lot of that was because of being sick, but I had this overwhelming need to incorporate all of that stuff in with my art.
Absolutely. Do you feel in some way that by listening to your own intuition and your own gut, you were able to curate a new way of being in a sense then? Or do you think it seems like, or is it divine timing, do you think?
I think both. Yeah, I think, you know, I guess the timing, I don't know if the timing was right. Everybody thought I was crazy.
I feel like everyone that's doing. Start, though. Yeah, I feel like when I told everyone I was starting an astrology business, they were like, what? Like, and I feel like the more that I have learned and worked with other people, the more my business has flourished because I know that I'm being true to myself.
Yeah.
And I'm working with my intuition, not against it. For so long, I think we're told to work, like society conditions us to work against our intuition. And I think when we start living life to our gut instincts, then things can just sort of miraculously change, like very law of attraction, you know what I mean? So it's like super important, especially for women, I feel like, because there's so many conditions in this world where we're not tuned into our body, especially, I also have chronic illness. So it's like, when you're in constant pain, it's like you almost want to tune out of your body.
Yeah, you want to numb yourself. You want to, you know, and then being an air sign on top of it, I don't want to be in my body.
Same. I'm also an air sign. I'm an Aquarius.
Be in my head all the time.
Aww.
Yeah. So.
That's amazing. What does ritual mean to you? What part does it play in your life? And how does it help you either with chronic illness or with emotions, I want to say?
Well, I was already creating ritual in my life. So, you know, I would do ritual around the phases of the moon, or I would do them for special occasions. You know, I'd have my altar set up and I would, you know, make sigils or do little ceremonies and ritual around meditation and all that kind of stuff. And then it was, well, if I'm doing this over here, why aren't I doing it with my art? Because my art is probably more of a spiritual thing than this other stuff, because I am connecting so deeply with my soul. So that's when I started to incorporate it more with the art. But I think like art as ritual or art as a sacred practice is, it can be a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So, and it's different things to different people.
Yeah.
So I feel like you can have like ritual around your art practice. So you can, you know, create a sacred creative space. You can sage your space or your creative tools. You can use crystals to clear your painting water. You can charge your art. You can use essential oils. Like there's a lot to bring into your art practice. And that can all be ritual. But then you can actually have art itself as the spiritual practice. And so that can look like different things. That can be building more self-care and self-love and self-esteem into your daily art practice, you know, by freeing up judgment and perfectionism and fear It can be letting go of the idea that you have to create something perfect and finding beauty in the imperfections. It can be about building that relationship with your art and telling your story through your art. So that's another aspect of it. But then it can be really like art itself as this spiritual practice. So the idea of painting as meditation, you know, or intuitive painting or channeling or working with the phases of the moon with your art. I have a friend that's really into painting sacred geometry right now. And that takes her to, you know, a really spiritual space. So I think there's a lot of different ways that you can bring ritual into your creative practice.
That's amazing. I love it. I think that like spirit will speak to you. I say this all the time. Spirit speaks to you in a language that you understand. And for some people, that's music. And for some people, that's artistic practices. And for some people, that can even just be the way that you play and interact with other people and just feeding off of energy itself. And I just think it's so wonderful when you're able to find a language that's just so natural for you, because I think that that's super challenging for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I talk to a lot of clients and they just like, when they're coming to me and they're asking me what they should be doing, what their sole purpose is. And I'll ask them what they love. Like, what did they love as a child? I always like to go back to the inner child. What lit them up as a child? And sometimes I'll just hear them say, I don't even know. So it's just, I feel like it's so magical when people find something that just clicks. What would be your advice for somebody who's having trouble kind of tuning in and finding their creativity or their intuitive creativity at that, like or trying to incorporate a new creative practice into their life? Someone who might not necessarily be artistic, but I feel like everyone can be artistic. I argue everyone's an artist,
yeah.
but to channel that for someone who's very new, I would say.
I just started a practice sharing it on Instagram, and it's creating these sacred circles. Mm-hmm. And so it's just watercolor, and that's all it is you're just laying down paint and water and you're doing these circles. It's, you know, you're in the spiral. Mm-hmm. And so many people have reached out to me about how that has helped them to get into a meditative space or be more mindful or connect with their art on a new kind of level. And so that has been eye-opening to me, like, because it's something that's so simple and people aren't intimidated by it. You know, you see it and you're like, well, I can do that. So something like that could be really a great way to start. And intuitive painting too, where you're just throwing down paint and you're not really thinking much about it. Like, it doesn't have to be this perfect thing. So I think there are a lot of different ways. And, you know, as always, you have to really kind of go within and ask yourself, like, how can I reach these different spaces within myself?
Yeah. I was recently watching this TED talk, and they were talking about these archaeologists had found all of these sacred symbols from thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. And they were consistent throughout many countries and many different civilizations. And she was talking so beautifully about how the hit with art history, like, there was this understanding that language was going to become obsolete at some point. And so that they were trying to create these symbols to withstand time, so their story could be told millions and millions of years later, right? And I think that that's kind of brilliant. And that's so interesting to me. And it made me curious, like, as an artist who works with this type of energy, how do you want your art to be remembered? If someone were to find it, what would you want to convey about the world in 2023, your art, that you feel is important? And is there a particular symbol that you think is just infinite and could be understood in future civilizations, let's say?
I think that with all of the stuff I do, I do all these florals, and yeah, they're great. They're on product and woohoo and all that. But that's not, I don't feel like that's the work that that will transcend time. I think things like these sacred circles, or I create intuitive symbols where I'm kind of channeling energy and then scrying and coming up with meanings. And they're really based on how I feel. I'm painting my feelings more than I'm painting anything else. And I don't know, I guess just like that I have been able to connect with my art in that way, and that people can do that as well, and people can, and find an escape through their art and find spiritual meaning through their art is what I would like to kind of stand the test of time, and that people can heal through art.
Absolutely. I
Yeah.
feel like art is so cathartic.
Yeah, and I think people don't really think of it that way as much
Yeah.
anymore.
No, totally. I feel like that's the whole basis of this project that I started. Initially, it was a zine, and I came out and I was like, you don't need to go to art school to be an artist. Like, there's a million different things you can do. Like, zines were so wonderful to me because I couldn't necessarily draw the way that I wanted to draw. But with zines, I could cut and paste things and work with abstract thought or even more intense thought. And I could create this entire beautiful collage of what I really wanted to say through deconstructing, I guess, art, you would say, into something new or recycling it. And like I always feel like I don't know, I was always inspired by like Yoko Ono because she had this way. Have you ever read Grapefruit?
No.
Oh, you would love it. She wrote it in the 60s. It's this it is an art book, but it's all words. And it's just like she takes these ideas and about life and she challenges them in such an like obscure way, I would say, but it's so playful and light and like laughs at humanity and brings you joy. And so I've always been inspired by people personally that just kind of play with their art, if that makes sense, and make it uniquely their own.
Yeah, and I think that doesn't happen as much anymore. I think in this society of social media that we have, people are so obsessed with making perfect art that they can, and to make it quickly, where they can hurry up and photograph it and share it and, have it be this beautiful thing. And I think that they forget about the importance of the process.
Absolutely. And I think that that's why I liked zines was like it gave you a right to like make it sloppy and that didn't necessarily like there's beauty in the imperfection. What is the phrase? There's that Japanese phrase. Is it wabi-sabi?
Yeah.
Beauty and imperfection. I love that.
I do
And
too.
I also think that like this is something I talk about a lot because I used to teach preschool and one of the things I learned go when I went back to school to get certified was just like watching children play in their elements and learning how to maybe even use a tool for the first time was so exciting to me. And we, as we get older, we learn things from reading books or watching television, but we don't actively play with life. And when we're playing with life and we're in the flow of life, that's when we do our best learning. And so I think that if I can encourage anybody who's listening to this, is try to find what allows you to play with life, whatever technique that is. How do you think that you have learned from your own art and playing with your flow?
Well, it started out that art for me was business. Art for me was making money. And as I spent this time really trying to find myself through my art and doing the intuitive painting, like the process just became so much more important to me. And I find with Make Art a Sacred Practice, as I'm showing, these sacred circles and intuitive florals, and I'm talking about the process and to let go and just to play and don't take it all so seriously. Like, it's just, it's made my art so much better because I'm free. Like, I'm free and I'm not caring as much about the outcome.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay. So what are you currently up to? Do you have anything that you're promoting? How can people contact you? Can they look at your art? Share.
I have my Instagram account is stephanie.ryan.artist. And my website is stephanieryan.com. And then I just launched a new intuitive watercolor floral class on Skillshare that I am super, super proud of. It not only teaches everything that that I do to create intuitive florals, but there's a meditation on there. I talk about your spiritual creative tools that you can use, like your crystals and essential oils and different ways to bring ritual into your spiritual practice, into your creative spiritual practice. So it's a really great class. And I just launched the first one, and there's two more that are coming up. So I'm really, really proud of it.
Well, congratulations for turning your art into your career and making it both fun and playful and spiritual. You kind of got the dream, Stephanie.
I'm working it out, you know.
Well, I hope to have you back when you have something new to promote. And it was so lovely talking with you today.
It was so great talking to you, too. Thanks so much.
Have a great afternoon.
Bye-bye. Bye.
I have a confession. I'm kind of obsessed with vintage lingerie, and I have been pretty much my whole life. Which sounds kind of weird to say, but I also grew up obsessed with Courtney Love, and her style was so informative to my own personal style since I was a child. I love slips, I love teddies, I love taking the pinup girl style and making it my own. And when I'm looking for good vintage lingerie, Bride of the Fox has my back. They are a store located in Roanoke, Virginia, but they have an online presence, so you can shop online too. And you can find them on Instagram at Bride of the Fox. They have great items all the way from 1915 to the 1990s. Right now I'm kind of obsessed with this teddy that they have. It's like kind of beige and beautiful and silk, but what I really love is that it has a 40-inch bust, and it's so hard to find lingerie that's like good for someone who's kind of top heavy like me. So if you're also into vintage lingerie, you should go right now, add Bride of the Fox on Instagram, and you can check out their Etsy store. Some of their stuff is also on Instagram. And if you do live in Virginia, go to their in-person store. They even have private appointments. So I was reading this quote today from Will Smith, who is, by the way, my freaking soulmate. I love him to death. And he was talking about his relationship to his daughter Willow and how much his parenting style has really changed over the years. And he was describing the change in this interview. And he says, I stopped and I started watching my kids. With Willow, I started to see that there was a higher value in talking to her about how she feels about the situation versus how to fix the situation. And that thought process for me. And I thought that that was so important because, you know, my entire life I have watched a bunch of foolish parenting. I watched great parenting and I watched foolish parenting, both from observation of my own parents and people that I know and members of my family. And I've sort of just like sat background and observed and decided that when I do have children of my own one day, like how I will raise them to be their highest self. And I've always sort of felt personally that I grew up in a home and surrounded by people where there was a lot of judgment
based on the decisions that someone would make. And there were these preconceived notions of what a parent should or should not do, and what good parenting is and what it is not, and what makes someone a good person versus what makes someone a bad person. And so all of these ideas were very much ingrained into me, these very black and white type thinkings with very little gray area. And so at some point when I started to get really frustrated, because when you grow up in that type of environment, and you are a critical thinker, that can be one of the most frustrating experiences. And so you do the shadow work and you ask yourself, what is the higher value, like Will Smith says. And so I've always said that my brother has this constant phrase where he says, I know how to be a good parent because I'm going to do everything that our parents did not do. I know what not to do. And I think that that's such problematic parenting, because you evidently just keep doing the same thing but in a different way. And so I've always had this attitude where if I did have children, my decisions with my child would be based on the particular child, not based on this parenting technique or this book that I read. I just really want to be the type of parent that understands my child and then acts in the best way possible to make them evolve as a person. I love the idea of treating my child in a way that allows for that critical thought, for them to come to their own conclusions, and serving more as guidance rather than as authority. And I think that that's super important. And I think a lot of people in my generation are starting to really come to that point. And I feel like Will Smith was very eloquent in the way that he said this. And I hope that people read this and really take it in, really breathe it in, and apply it. There is a higher value in understanding your child rather than trying to fix the child or try to get them to do what you need them to do. And working with that and being a guide. I think so many parents come in with this sense of authority. And, you know, sometimes there's a time and a place for that, right? But I think that coming in as the authority is not the type of parent that I wish to be. And so I had this very amazing fifth house conclusion this week that I think I'm ready, once I'm financially able to have a child, I'm going to do it. Because I think that parenthood for me is the thing that makes the most sense. I feel like I've always been a bit of a guide. I think parenting should involve asking a lot of questions and trying to understand and be open to new ways of thinking, new ways of applying, new ways of challenging yourself and growing as an individual, and living a life free of judgment. Living a life free of preconceived notions. Living a life of gray rather than black and white. A buffet table, if you will, rather than one particular meal. I know parents that when they have children, they read all the books and they decide which mythology they would like to have with their child. And then the child comes and the child's totally different and doesn't respond well. And so it's like, you can't set life to your plans. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, this is my fifth house talk for today. I hope for all the parents listening today, I hope that this really inspires you to sit down with your children this week and try to really get to know them. Try to understand the way that they think so you can be a better guide rather than the authority. Remember, this Saturn-Pluto-Jupiter conjunction, it's about breaking down authoritative ideas and systems that no longer work. How does that apply to you in your own life? I'm going to leave you with that question this week. I want to thank Stephanie so much for being my guest this week. She's amazing. Please go check out her art. And as always, I want to thank my BB Hive. I love you guys. Thank you for just existing. Thank you for supporting me. And if you want to continue to support this project, please sign up for my Patreon at patreon.com/burnblack. You can sign up for as low as $1 a month, which is pretty awesome. The higher levels do come with readings, so if you would like a reading and you don't have the money, this is a great way to set up a payment plan to get a reading down the road. And also there's just like a plethora of information on my website and on my Patreon. I upload a lot of tools and books and resources on astrology and self-care and mental health. And so if you're feeling kind of low, this is a great opportunity for you to find just a bunch of knowledge and a bunch of uplifting information. And if you have someone in your life that's struggling right now, this might be a great gift for only $1 a month. So, and it supports my work. So thank you so much. Until next week, I love you guys. Take care.
Burn black.